Good to have all those with us this morning. As I remember, Brother Dunaway and had started years ago, and I think Kyle's picked up on this. You might want to have your songbooks marked to the song that was selected for our invitation. I think Nick does that sometimes too, but it does help remind us where we're going. And that's the challenge to us as human beings, trying to figure out where we're going. Had a conversation on Wednesday night. Robin, Chrissy, a few others of us were talking about. I think my aunt was talking about it too. And the conversation was death. What do we want to know when we're going to die? And I think the answer for that for most of us is no. We don't want to know when we're going to die. We want to know when we're ready, right? We want to know that what we've done as Christians has aligned to the Word of God, that we know that our future is going to be safe. But a lot of us don't want to know that day that we're going to have to cut off this life. We like it. It's all we've known. We're looking to our future, but it's all we've known. And there was conversation. I think Robin said, well, I don't mind. I'd rather just go in my sleep. End the day, just fall asleep, wake up, and in eternal bliss. And I think that would be a good thing for all of us. But we all have family. We all have children. Many of us have children. We have mothers and fathers. Those are the people that we care about, and they're here on this planet. And that is, to us as Christians, is one of the hardest things to overcome. I was asking Kyle a while back what his plan was for the lesson. Abe tends to give us the opportunity to choose the direction that we're going to go in our studies. And Kyle had talked about a debate that happened back in February. And a lot of our lesson was going to focus on that. But what got me thinking about that is the fact that this was a big, publicized television event. And television events sometimes can really rule the lives of most of us today. I'll let the screen warm up there, but to you younger people, this is not going to make any sense. The title of today's lesson is Roll 'Em. You're going to think, what in the world does that have to do with a movie? I don't even know what you're talking about. I've got a digital camera and I just hold it at you and nothing rolls, it just picks it up. I take my phone out and I can record anything. Nothing moves in there, it's just a digital chip absorbing information. Well, if you go back into the 1920s and you look up Charlie Chaplin and some of the early movies in black and white, they did indeed have to roll film. That's why we call it film rolls. And if you look at some of the pictures on Google, you can see Charlie Chaplin. He's also a director. They had this big, huge camera, and they twisted it because at that time there were no motors like we have today. There wasn't automation that we have today. They actually rolled it. And this stuck in the lesson that I have today, not so much about film, but like I put on the subtitle there, Lessons on Finding and Keeping the Faith in a Live-Action Sinful World. That's a mouthful, and I'm not going to challenge you to remember this on Wednesday, but just think about that. All of our lives are being videotaped, if you will, right now by two places. Everybody that we come in contact with, just like the New Testament talks about, our lives are a city set up on a hill. Everybody sees what happens on that city. It's always there in full view. But also, the book of life is an ever-running story of our lives. From the time that we're born to the time that we die, that span of time is what is recorded. Good or bad, that is what God sees, and that's what we're going to be held accountable for. Now, back to the idea of rolling. There's a lot of things that we see in media or film or online that can affect our impact on how we behave as Christians, that can challenge us as Christians. We are called out and assembled, the name of the church, because we're pulled out of a world that is in opposition to everything that God asks of it. And it has been that way almost since creation. Even from a small family, sin was immediately there within just Adam and Eve's lifetime. It happened in their children. They lost a child because of sin. And it just kept on going. We see it throughout the Bible. Now, another thing for you to think about. On Wednesday night, we had some prints made for our lesson books today. And if you got those of you that are a little bit more visually challenged, wear contacts or glasses, got that and was like, oh, this is going to be a tough study because I can't even see it. Well, here's the first 9 slides of today's lesson. So I'm just going to leave these stuck up on the board for you. I thought you might enjoy that. I'm not going to do that, but we're going to get going here. I've got a lot of slides and a lot of focus on things. I want to look back at a couple of things. I want to look back at the Old Testament, and I want to look back into the New Testament on promises that God gives us. On all the slides at the very bottom, I've got that roll 'em stuck on there. Keep thinking about that. Remembering that our lives are recorded by those around us, and remember that our lives are recorded by God. And as that recording is going on, there are always going to be opponents that we're going to be facing. In the church, outside the church, at work, at home, there's always going to be someone trying to push us to the edge. And they say that's what makes a great movie. Having somebody that was a good person and somebody the bad person. And that conflict is what makes a movie so good. Could be anything. But think about that as we go through here. Read along with me. These are all from the New King James Version. Deuteronomy 30, 16 through 18. In that command, this is Moses talking to the people as they're about to go into the Promised Land. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, His statutes, His judgments. Why? Why do we do these things that Moses is talking about? That you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you and the land which you go to possess. Now again, we are talking to the Israelites going to that promised land of Canaan. But this promise is one that endures. It goes on to the New Testament in the heavenly realm and so on. But listen to the but here. There's a problem that you have to pay attention to. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods, gods like we talked about this morning in our adult class, and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you go to cross over the Jordan to go into the land to possess. So, God's promises, keeping His judgments, His commandments, that you may live and multiply, so you're going to flourish. But if you fail to do those things, and here's the problem, getting drawn away, worshiping other gods, serving them, we'll look at that more closely. Okay, what about the New Testament? Very, very same language from Hebrews 2:1-3. And remember, the book of Hebrews, again, is to the Jews, the Jewish Christians of the New Testament. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Well, what is the Hebrew writer talking about? There's a big list of things. The things that we heard. The things that made us Christians in the first place. The things that make us stay close to God. The things that we're to resist. Lest we drift away, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and we know that that was the word that was given back in the Old Testament through the prophets and so on, every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. Well, what was that reward based on? It was based upon those words that they had gotten. Then he turns it to us. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What is that? That is the salvation of a Christian, being able to go to God in heaven through baptism and through the New Testament gospel, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, talking about Christ, and was confirmed to us by those that heard Him. Again, from the book of Hebrews. There's two parts. There's the Old Testament, where the people, the Jews, were being called out of the world and trying to follow God. The New Testament we were just talking about. This is very important. And this goes with a lot of the other lessons. I told Kyle this kind of is a continuation of the last three lessons that I presented. The impacts of all the things around us, again, with this idea of Rollam, what is our opposition in this movie of life that we live in? Well, right now, the biggest opposition we have is humanism. The definition of humanism is the denial of any power or moral value superior to that of humanity. The rejection of religion in favor of a belief in the advancement of humanity by its own efforts. So what is this religion I'm talking about? And I've told Abe several times, humanism, I think, is probably one of the strongest religions in the world. I think most of you that understand what this is can say, yes, indeed, this is what it is. Humanism is when I say, there's no God, we're responsible for everything in our lives, we're responsible for everything going forward, so what we decide is law, it's gospel, it's what you need to follow, and if you don't do it, we're going to oppose you and we're going to make it change. Now, this idea of the media and rolling them, there's a few things I'm going to go through. I'm going to try to go through quickly, because some of these things are not real pleasant to think about, and some of the definitions are a little bit tough. This was in a story I was listening to the radio last week, and I'm just looking at this. This has happened in some of the other religions that are major religions in the world today, too. CNN story on June 20th, the Presbyterian Church of the United States voted Thursday to allow pastors to marry same-sex couples in states where it is legal. The church also voted by an overwhelming majority to change the language about marriage in the church constitution to two persons, from a man and woman. According to this group, More Light Presbyterians, a group that supports gay rights. To take effect, the change would need to be approved by a majority of the 172 local presbyteries, which have a year to vote, the church said in a statement. Now you go back to that definition. What is humanism? Humanism, it's basically the moral value of humans. Taking that. Look at all these things inside here. The church. We think of the church as a good way. The church is a group of people pulled together. They are voting on these type of actions. And this is not one case. There's a lot of other cases that things that go in complete opposition to God, human beings being called together saying, well, I know God said that, and in this book that we've had for thousands and thousands of years with all this evidence, that's not good enough. Because today, we are humans, and here's what we're going to decide. It gets worse. Continuing in the story. However, starting Saturday, pastors, as they say, can go ahead and begin marrying same-sex couples in the states that allow it, according to Toya Richards Jackson, a church spokeswoman. The church affirmed that all of its faithful members today, this vote is an answer to many prayers for the church. So there's these people in churches all around the world praying that things that they think are right happen. For the church to recognize love between committed same-sex couples, said Alex McNeil, executive director of More Light Presbyterians. We will keep praying that the majority of our 172 presbyteries will confirm that all loving couples can turn to their churches when they are ready to be married. Here's a picture on the top of that story. It says, the Reverend Tony Larson and his partner Craig Matthews are refused marriage license by Racine County Clerk Wendy, and it goes on, talks about why they couldn't get married because they're two guys that feel that they are in love and want to be married. But this Roland, look back here. Person with their cell phone taking video. There's a cameraman here. The only reason that picture is up there is because they want to push this idea as total acceptance on the masses. It is absolutely in just going crazy. And I looked at this a little bit more in depth the last few weeks. And it's not so much the people that have these ideas about what gay rights are or what pastors can do or what bishops can do or who speaks or what. It's the media. It really is. And I don't like to criticize the media a whole lot. The media's job is to take something that's confrontational and push it on everybody because people look at it and they make their money. Very much like what we were talking about in our class today. Cody was talking about Demetrius. He was a silversmith. And if you look in that passage in Acts 19, I believe is where we were, he raises those people's fury because he's basically saying, our jobs are in danger. And then they turn that all into rage because these people are confounding or trying to turn people away from Diana, this goddess that they make out so good. If you read between the lines, it's saying all this work, all this money that we're making is going to go away if we don't combat these people. And that's really what the media is doing today. So just try to keep that in mind as we go through here. Paul's letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. I've used this in a few lessons. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of monies, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. I'm going to have to go fast because I got a lot to show you. I'm just trying to look at this. I want to break this open because as adults, sometimes education kind of gets pushed aside for just kind of getting used to hearing things. Pay attention to some of these. Lovers of themselves. We have people all around us saying, me, my, mine, I want this. Give it to me. I deserve it. Lovers of money. We've talked about this. I know this is very important, something that Glennon talks about often. People working nonstop hours, trying to have the better thing, trying to have the big house, trying to have something that matches somebody else. Work, work, work. Show, show, show. Bling. Younger people, you know that word. You want to have something that looks good. You want to have the nicest pants that's got all these spangles on the back of them that cost $150 because they've got those pants. It has nothing to do with comfort. It's about what you got to show. Go big. Make it look good. Have the coolest things. Not because you need them, but because they're expected. Boasters. I got a lot of definitions on here, things we forget about sometimes. A boaster is a person that speaks with exaggeration or excessive pride, especially about oneself. Well, I did this. Look what I did. I am so important. That's what people are becoming. Proud. Feeling pleasure or satisfaction over something regarded as highly honorable or creditable to oneself. Again, the same idea. I am the best employee at work. I do all these great things. Look what this nice thing that I did. Those things are not part of a Christian's repertoire. If we look at the New Testament, just the opposite. Christ says, humble yourselves, Do not take credit for anything. As hard as that may be, I struggle with it too. Just let things get done. Let God get the glory for it. Blasphemers. Well, what is a blasphemer? It's to show contempt or disrespect for a God, for a divine being or sacred things, especially in speech. We've talked about this. I think one of Abe's least favorite things that shows blasphemy is going, OMG, people saying that all the time. They don't even believe in God, but yet they claim God every time they have something big happen in their life. And big could be, those earrings are fantastic, OMG. It's just, what has boiled down to nothing? God is so insignificant. And I'll focus again on, put our minds back to how big God is. Disobedient to parents. No, you can't make me. I hate you. Whatever. I keep thinking about that kid in Cincinnati that locked his mom and dad in their bedroom and tried to burn a house down on him because he didn't get his way. What was he going back to? Well, he was proud. He was a boaster. He was being disobedient to a parent. He didn't get what he felt he deserved. He was a child of those two people. What did they deserve? Honor. Continuing on. Unthankful. Well, can you do this for me or will you do this for me? I want, I deserve. Just be thankful for what you get. A lot of kids ask for things. A lot of adults ask for things, but they aren't thankful for it. What's unholy? Well, it's pretty simple, but think about this. Not holy is not sacred or hallowed. It's just basically not recognizing the deity or the reverence that God has. Unloving, putting yourself above anybody else around you. No enduring relationships. You see this a lot. People that you feel are kind of unloving typically don't have the relationships that you really they wish they had. What about unforgiving? I never want to see or hear from you again. I hate him or her. Basically cutting things off. Sure, we have problems with people in our lives. Some people hurt us. But unforgiving, we can't be like that. We have to go past it. What's a slanderer? We read this passage and we kind of say, I can't remember what a slanderer is, so we'll go on. That's a malicious, false, or defamatory statement or report. That's when you're doing things and you're saying somebody did something that they did not. You want to make them look bad, and so that's the type of person that you are. What about without self-control? Do anything. Do it now. Just do it. Live it up. You have no self-control. You're going to have to pay for those actions down the road. Be careful what we get into. Me too. Brutal, savage, cruel, inhuman. Despisers of good. This is a waste of my time. Let them figure it out. The Bible tells us that anyone that knows to do good and does not do it to them, it's sin. Sin is breaking the law and God is not happy with it. So if we see good, we need to do it, not just put it off. Traitor. We might think of some of the early American history, what a traitor is. A traitor is a person who betrays another, a cause or a trust. You could have traitors in the church. You think somebody, you have a problem, you let them know it, ask them to pray for it, and somebody else knows about it. That person has betrayed you. They have been a traitor. Again, that happens in the church. It happens all the time in the world. You can't tell somebody at work or a family member without eventually getting out. What about headstrong? What's that? Determined to have one's own way. Willful, stubborn, obstinate. We might have people like that in our lives too. Expecting them to help out and they just refuse to do it. They are just not helpful. Keep thinking about all these words I'm giving you. Haughty, disdainfully proud, snobbish, scornfully arrogant. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, that sounds like a great idea, but let's do it. Let's do or let's do nothing. What I'm trying to say there is sometimes it's pleasurable for us. Like sometimes we come home from work, we come home from school, and we want to plop on the couch, turn the TV on. And I will tell you, that does feel pretty good sometimes, especially if you have air conditioning. Today we might be a little bit uncomfortable because of the thermostat not working. Just sit back and just relax and nothing is on your mind. Ooh, that feels good. But when it gets out of control, when that becomes more important to us than doing other things, that's when it gets a problem. And then also other people. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. You know that story that I just talked about on CNN? Those people were churches. They were praying. They were talking about God. They were talking about love. Doesn't that all sound good? Sure. But this verse says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Well, what power were they denying? They were electing to make decisions that were in opposition to God. That's denying the power. Timothy, or the letter to Timothy finishes up, and from such people turn away. So I just gave you a whole list of people, a whole list of situations, behaviors that people can have. And Paul tells Timothy, turn away from these people. Just turn around and walk away from them. So what's Paul warning Timothy about here? 2 Timothy 3:5, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known, or from childhood, that you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Not all of us have been raised up in Christian homes. Not all of us have been raised up in the same way that Timothy obviously was raised up by his mother and his grandmother. But we've all, if we're Christians, somebody has come to us to give us that knowledge. And the same thing applies to us here. 1 Corinthians 2, 12-14. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in the words which man wisdom teaches. Again, that's the problem. That's not what we want to do. But that which the Holy Spirit teaches, which is what? The New Testament, as we have it recorded. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This is a passage that gets lost a lot of times in the New Testament, but it's something that we need to be very careful about. And it shows the dangers out there. Continuing on, 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. I'm paraphrasing a little bit there. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Again, I got to go quick because I'm running short on time. I've got a lot of slides. I want to do the same thing that we just did. I want us to pay attention to these words because we need to think about them. Older members, younger members, people that are not members, pay attention to these things. And some of them are not pleasant. Fornicators, definition, voluntary sexual intercourse between two unmarried persons or two persons not married to each other. Idolaters, excessive or blind adoration, reverence, devotion, etc. Idolater is not somebody going up to an idol like we talked about in class and saying, "Oh, Diana, I respect you, I love you." It's like what Abe's talked about before. If your devotion is excessive to things in your life, money, cars, time, family, those are idols. Do not adore them to the point that your devotion takes you away from God. An adulterer, voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and someone who is not his or her lawful spouse. Homosexuals, a person who is sexually attracted to members of the same sex. Sodomites, anal or oral copulation with a member of the opposite sex, copulation with members of the same sex, bestiality. Some terrible things in here, but this is some of the stuff that was happening at the writing of 1 Corinthians. We talked about the Ephesian letters. These same things were going on over 2,000 years ago. They still go on today. We need to be aware of them and what they are. Thieves, not a thing that you really need a definition for, but a person who steals, especially secretly or without open force, one guilty of theft or larceny. What's covetous mean? We say that, but do we really remember what it is? Inordinately wrong, desirous of wealth or possessions. Greedy. If you want something so bad that you're willing to do anything that you can do to get it, that's covetousness. Drunkards, person who is habitually or frequently drunk, pretty easy. Revilers, to assail with contemptuous, and this word is a tricky one too, and I usually know most words, but opprobrious, I have to look that one up later, but language, to address or speak abusively. So somebody that just has contempt for somebody. I'm going to say some bad things about you people because I don't want you to even be close to me or something like that. Just being mean. Extortioners, the act of securing money, favors, etc. by intimidation, violence, or blackmail. We see this around us too. Now go up to the top of that sentence and to the bottom of the sentence. Right there. Neither, and then down to the bottom, will inherit the kingdom of God. There's a list of people. Some of them we might say, they're not so bad. Some people you say, they're terrible. Some people you say, there's more and more of them. Keep in mind what we started out on our story with. And finally in this passage, and such were some of you. We had a pretty bad list of some pretty bad people. We talked about the Ephesians today in our adult class. All these things can happen. The Lord's church is not perfect. And especially those that are members of the Lord's church that were not perfect to start with. And that is one thing that we have constantly got to work on. I am not perfect. I might be up here standing behind this pulpit today trying to present a lesson that I think is from God's Word. But if you think I'm perfect, you're absolutely wrong. Do not think that. I'm doing the best I can with what I have. I have temptations all around me. I trip up frequently, as do all of you. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So three things happened. First of all, these were sins. These people were dirty. They had to be washed off. How were they done that? They were baptized, they confessed Christ, and so on. Secondly, they were washed, but now what happened? Were they just clean and put right back out where they were? No, they were sanctified. So there was a cleansing level that was even more carefully done to them. And finally, just because you're clean and sanctified doesn't mean that you're justified. God still would recognize all those sins you did, but because of Christ, we are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So humanism. What is humanism? It's things just like this all around us. I mean, there's a lot more. We talked about the passage there from 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. Remember, and such people turn away. All these people listed up here turn away from them. There's going to be people in our family. There's going to be people at work. There's going to be people in the grocery store. There's definitely people online that are going to have all these attributes. But we need to turn away from them. That doesn't mean we need to kick them out of our lives. But we don't want to say, oh, that looks like a good idea, and hop in line and just start trialing behind them. We need to show that we are the peculiar people that the New Testament talks about. That we may have the same likes and equality. You see these equal signs on people's cars all the time that go along with some of these things we've talked about. I work in Yellow Springs. They're on, it seems like, everybody's cars up there. It is true. God sees all of us equally, no matter what our sin is. And I heard a radio program this week that was reminding us that some of these new things that are really bad, like homosexuality and same-sex marriage, that we see as really wrong, they're no different than every other sin that's listed. They're bad. They need corrected. But so are a lot of these other things that we talked about. There's no higher or lower levels of sin. Once you sin, that's moving away from God's Word. We have to keep that in mind. I was going to focus a little bit on this, but as we talked, Kyle and I kind of went over some things. He'll be talking about this later. But the subject of all these conversations that he and I were trying to think of for the subject today was built on this televised debate between Bill Nye, the science guy, and Ken Ham, which is the guy that basically runs the Creation Museum. Unfortunately, the debate did not go as well as I think most of us had hoped. This man was certainly not a member of the church. But it just shows you how much attention the world puts you on a spotlight. Because they want to see, as much as the world may be against God, they want things to appeal to them. Remember, we talked about this in other lessons, and especially in a lot of our adult classes, that there were people in the New Testament that their whole purpose was to get together to hear some new thing. They wanted to talk about something nobody else was talking about, and they wanted to just go crazy with it. Things like this are new things. The idea of creation versus evolution certainly is not a new thing. But every time somebody wants to talk about it, it's a new thing to them. Things like this, as this Rollam idea is, this video of our lives, this video by God, our video is going to be seen by all those around us. And so what are they going to see? There's a lot of things we may not be able to answer. Even in that debate, there were things that were brought up that simply are not stated in the Bible. I can have my theories about it. I can read about things. I can try to understand things. They're not there. The Bible is clear that it tells us about things that pertain to life and godliness. God is a forward planner. He wants us to know that we're here and now. These are the problems that we face. And this is where you need to get to if you want to live forever. Otherwise, this is where you're going. It's that simple. We have to use all the Bible to take a look at those things. And in Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Now, this law that's being talked about there was the law of Moses. That does not apply to us, but the law of God has been first revealed as the Levitical law, or the law of Moses, and the law today is the New Testament. It's still law by God, and He expects us to adhere to it. And there's the promise. If we just do those things, and our children are taught those things, that law is going to benefit us into the future. This was originally what I was going to talk about, and I'm not going to spend much time on it, but I thought it was important to bring up, because as we talk about our trust, our belief, our absolute confidence in God, this goes back to the lesson I talked about where you look how big we are and how big the building is, how big Waynesville is, and you just keep going. I really think it's important. And I was so happy that Abe talked about this on Wednesday night, about how creation is absolutely essential to us to have confidence in God. But think about this. The surface of the Earth's area is about 149 million square miles. We know the Earth's like 70% water, so that's just the land. You take 149 million square miles of land, Now bring it down to your level. I know there's a lot here that have pretty much grown up here in Warren County, so I use that. I've been a spotty all over the place, but it probably hasn't added much more than this. For those of you who have been born in and lived your lives in Warren County, or outside Warren County, but say you all have born in Warren County and lived in Warren County all your lives, your footprint on earth, other than some travel from time to time, has covered some 0.0027% of the earth's surface with your life. That is the impact that your life has made on this earth. That's how much range that you've had. Of 149 million square miles of earth, that's all you've touched. And again, go back to my lesson. This earth is just a pinprick. I mean, literally, I could take this whole board behind me and put one dot you couldn't even see, and that would be earth and all of God's creation. Brothers, sisters, all of you here, think about the God that we serve. It is absolutely important that all of you go out of here today not seeing God as a big dad to Jesus, this person that's about my size, but the creator of all things in existence. I mean, it's so integral to all of our existence and all of our faith in God and Christ on how we live our lives. And I thought about that. When we see Christ raising people from the dead and making the sea stop moving and feeding 5,000, how significant was His gifts here on earth compared to the creation that God provided? If our Father is that powerful, we can do anything. It is true what the New Testament tells us. So again, how big is God? Acts 17, I think this is the last slide of God. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, who is God? God is the Creator I just talked to you about. We ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold, silver, or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. It goes along with our lesson from this morning. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. We will not be judged by what other people have done. We will be judged by Christ's righteousness, and He is the one that God ordained. That's a whole bunch to run through real quick, but there's things in there that I think sometimes we've skipped over too often. I can't impress enough on all of you here today and on myself the largeness of God. It is just something I'm fixated on, and I think it's something that will help our faith. It will help us refute those people that live around us, because some of the things that science comes back with just are beyond possibilities. To assume that all the creation that we have just one day happened for no apparent reason. There's things that we need to be confident in. Being confident in God is definitely one of the things I pray that all of us can have more trust in, especially the younger people of this congregation, because you guys are all the ones that deal with schools that have absolutely got the religion of humanism integral in their teaching. This morning, I'll sit down, be quiet, but let God reign in your life. Please take the song that's been selected and we'll stand and sing.